Get deeper insights on the news from inside sources.
Well, tonight when the sun sets, another Passover will begin. Passover has been described as the oldest and most transformative story of hope ever told. It tells of how an otherwise undistinguished group of slaves found their way to freedom from the greatest empire of their time. It tells the revolutionary story of how the supreme power intervened in history to liberate the supremely powerless. It is a story of the defeat of probability by the force of possibility. It defines what it is to be a Jew, a living symbol of hope. And as we move into Passover, really thrilled to have back on the program with us Rabbi Brad Hirschfield, co-founder and co-executive editor of the Wisdom Daily. Brad also serves as president of the National Jewish Center for Learning and Leadership. It's a leadership training institute, think tank, and resource center based in New York City. And Rabbi Brad, welcome back to the show.
It's so good to be with you, boy. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is an interesting Passover season, obviously, with a lot of the challenges around the world, the uncertainty. Give us your sense rolling into Passover. What is it that not just those of the Jewish faith, but what should everyone be thinking about as we roll into Passover?
So I love that question because the message I would share today is not only for Jews, although this is a pretty challenging time for a lot of reasons, but lots of people have challenges. And for me, the thing I go back to, especially this year, is that in Jewish tradition, there are two models for Passover. The first Passover, the Passover of Egypt, and then every subsequent one. And the thing that is different about the Passover of Egypt is that it was celebrated while the Israelites were still in bondage. Mm. That's the amazing thing. So when you speak about the triumph of possibility over probability, that doesn't happen afterwards. It's that you dare to live as if it is possible, and that's actually when possibility can trump possibility. Because there they were, some 3,200 years ago, after hundreds of years in slavery, promised that they're going out the next morning. But let's be clear, Moses and Aaron had done some nifty tricks on behalf of God. But, you know, the Israelites had very short memories, as we know from Scripture. And yes, Pharaoh had said, I will let them go, but he had already lied about that three or four different times. And with all of that, gathered in their slaves' quarters, after hundreds of years of slavery, those ancient Israelites began to celebrate that they were going free tomorrow. Mm. Now, nothing in their lives, in their parents' lives, in their grandparents' lives, in their great-grandparents' lives, in their great-great-grandparents' lives, prepared them to believe this was possible. In fact, everything told them, no, we're going to wake up tomorrow and be slaves as we have been for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And yet they insisted that they believed they were going out tomorrow. And anyone who doesn't understand that it is the daring to believe it will happen, which is often the key ingredient in making it happen, that's what we need to remind ourselves. We need to use what, and this is not a political thing, whether you loved him or didn't, what President Obama dared to call the audacity of hope.
Yeah.
And I would wish that everybody would live into the audacity of their greatest hopes with faith, with compassion, and with, to quote you, Boyd, the deep trust that possibility will triumph over probability.
I love that. And it's so powerful that a whole idea of daring to live as if, even before it happens. We often talk about it in the power of what a difference a day makes. And for those Israelites, so what a difference a day did make. But they had to.
It certainly did.
They had to believe first. And I want to go to this second type of Passover that you have been alluding to, and this whole idea of what can we do and how do we do that, and how do we do that with something that I think is one of your unique gifts, Rabbi Brad, and that is this passion for compassion in all settings, not just the ones that lean in our favor.
So I think, you know, every subsequent Passover was celebrated, and that meant in good times and in bad times. And so what we can always do is find meaning, find purpose, and dare to live our purpose, not naively. I get it. Naivete is you know, dangerous stuff. But being realistic doesn't preclude being optimistic. Mm. And when it does, that's when cynicism takes in. So what we can do is we can take stock of all the reasons we have not to dare to live as if. I get it. And then we can understand two things, that with all of that, we can still do it. Every one of us has that within us. And that part of living the as-ifness, part of living hopefully, part of living everything we want for ourselves is to be aware that there are probably people around us who want many of the same things. And we do not have to agree with them in any way, shape, or form to still find some measure of dignity in who they are, even as we profoundly disagree with them. In fact, I would tell you that is really what's at stake in a lot of the struggles that are going on right now in the United States about what's going on thousands of miles away in Israel and in Gaza. Mm. I actually don't believe you have to be on one side and then fail to appreciate the other. In fact, that's exactly what we can't do. Right? I admit it, proud to be a Zionist, proud of the state of Israel. No, it's not perfect. Yes, it is the Jewish homeland. And for all of those reasons, I imagine that Palestinians want the same things that I want, which is a land to call their own. Yeah. And I get that. The fundamental difference is that when the need to have a land to call your own means extinguishing everyone who doesn't share your views, that's the opposite of hope. That, in fact, is the kind of cynicism which says it's all zero sum. And if it's not all going to be my way, then it should be nothing at all. And that's a struggle no one can afford to have.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to one of my favorite quotes from William George Jordan, Power of Truth, written back in 1902. And I think this is so apt as we enter into Passover. It says, when nature decides on anyone as a reformer, she whispers to him his great message. She places in his hand the staff of courage, wraps around him the robes of patience and self-reliance, and starts him on his way. Then, in order that he may have strength to live through it all, she mercifully calls him back for a moment and makes him an optimist. And I love that optimistic view, and I love some of the things that you have been pointing out in terms of we don't always get everything, but sometimes when we don't get everything, we don't do anything. We just hunker down or say, oh, it's impossible. And I think that was one of the things leading into Passover, that Moses clearly went with some very small incremental things at the beginning that ultimately led to the big thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I would challenge anyone to tell me a time when human beings took an all or nothing at all approach and it went well, even for their side.
Yeah.
Right, it just doesn't, and you're exactly right. You know, everyone knows various history, you know, biblical narratives, American narratives, let my people go. And boy, with so many people held captive still in Gaza, I don't think there's been a year, certainly in my lifetime, when that phrase, let my people go, has been more needed, more real, and frankly, more painful to say. Mm. Right? It will be hard to use those words tonight because they're not out. They are held hostage in Gaza. But that phrase, let my people go, begins when Moses goes, not once, not twice, but three times to Pharaoh, says, let my people go in the book of Exodus, in the biblical narrative. And everyone thinks that he was asking for their liberation. He was not. He was asking for them to have leave for a few days to go and worship God. He was asking for Pharaoh to recognize a fundamental freedom of religious liberty and a fundamental human dignity that at least a few days of their time as slaves should actually also be their own. Mm. And the amazing thing is that to be willing to ask for that was in some ways far more profound than to ask for their liberation, because that was the willingness to turn to Pharaoh and say, you know, you may want to see the world a little differently than you currently do. You may actually want to believe that, yes, they're your slaves, they'll keep being your slaves, but that slaves, even slaves, should have a little time of their own.
Yeah.
And yes, you may think you're a god, and that's all well and good, but you may want to consider the possibility that other people also have spiritual needs, and they don't want to worship you. They want to worship God. And you don't have to agree with them, but you might give them leave to do that, even for only a few days. And of course, that's the real work. Once we begin to consider the world differently than we have until a pivotal moment, once we make that shift, then everything can begin to change. And so let my people go is a plea for the kind of freedom of expression and the kind of human dignity that really is at stake in all of these struggles. We can have profound disagreements. We can have radical disagreements. Yeah. But we have got to find a way to appreciate that if there isn't freedom of conscience, if there isn't freedom of religious expression, if there, then actually, even the side we believe in is a side that is doomed.
Yeah. So profound, so powerful. You pointed out that this kind of hope is not about Pollyanna. It's not about rose-colored glasses. It's starting with some humility. It starts with that willingness to live a bit more boldly. To stand for that human dignity, that freedom. Rabbi Brad Hirschfeld, as always, thanks for enlightening us today. A very happy Passover to you. We look forward to having you back on the show real soon.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
All right. That's Brad Hirschfeld from New York joining us as we roll into Passover this week. Some extraordinary thoughts. You're going to want to go back and listen to the podcast. I've been taking notes. I've got a lot to go back and think again about myself. We'll be right back.